Well, good morning, everyone. Are you excited to be here in the house of the Lord today? If so, rise up and let's just go ahead and go into our praise and worship time and just lift up on the name of our Lord and Savior.
Here I am.
You belong to the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. 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 I love to worship the Lord and I love to lift up his name. I love that it says that we will proclaim him. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We proclaim him not only through our words, but we proclaim him through our actions, through our life, through everything that we do, that it shouldn't be. The Bible says that they will know you by your fruits. That long before you ever open your mouth, they should know that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we proclaim him from the rooftops, from the mountaintops. So this morning, I want you just to go to the prayer with me as we lift up this service. I want to welcome you if you're watching online. And I want to just say, let's ask him to be in this place. As we proclaim him through worship, we proclaim him through the word, we proclaim him as in our trust, in our prayer time, we proclaim him through everything we do here. Lord, we thank you this morning that your presence is in the midst of your people. And Lord, we pray right now that you would just pour out your spirit on every person that's here. Lord, no matter how we came into this place, whether we came in on the mountaintop or whether we came in the valley, Lord, whether we came in with an abundance of joy or whether we came in with a heart of sorrow today, Lord, whether we came in full of strength or, Lord, if we just barely made it here in our weakness, Lord, we proclaim your name. And Lord, we've come here today to lift you up. We've come here today to, Lord, let people know that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, that you are the answer. And Lord, we speak that truth from the mountaintops. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn and greet someone this morning. Say, hey, I'm so glad you're here in the house of the Lord.
Good morning. It's nice to shake each other's hands, amen? Good to see our brothers and sisters in the Lord on Sunday morning. Well, we are glad that you are here this morning. If this is your first time to be a guest with us, we want to say thank you for being here. We're honored that you chose to come and worship with us this morning. If you would do us a favor, you can find a card in the seat there. You can fill that out. Just lets us know that you are here, and we are glad that you're here. You can just drop that in the offering bags as they come by here in a little bit. Let's give our guests a hand this morning. Thank you for being here. Amen. As always, we've got a lot going on, so if you did not get a bulletin, make sure you snag one in the foyer so you know what's going on. But do want to remind you of a few things coming up. This next month, we will be doing our fall missions convention. If you see the update down there on the other sheet, we've been doing pretty good on our spring goal. So I want to just encourage you to be praying about what the Lord would have you to give, and be looking forward to supporting our missionaries that will have come in and really just be a chance to bless them. And how many of you know God loves missions? God loves reaching the lost, and we can be a part of that here. Even if we can't go, we can send people to reach out and touch those that we would never be able to meet. So I want to encourage you about that. Also, lots of ministry opportunities. If you're interested in being a part of our safety team, want to let you know September 11th, right after service, there'll be a meeting right after with Kevin Boyston. We'll be leading that. And if you've got some questions, maybe you're not sure if that's something you want to do, you can be a part of that meeting and get some more info. And also, if you would like to be a part of Wednesday night Royal Rangers ministry, you can also see Kevin. There's opportunity for kindergarten through fifth grade boys. And if you are willing and able, we have a spot for you. So I want to encourage you, if you would like to be a part of that, there is ample opportunity to pour into these young men's lives. Amen. Also, Women's Ministry Conference coming up. You can see Miss Kelly for that. Information that's coming up here just shortly as well. So beyond that, make sure you read your bulletin. And at this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to give to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for your presence in this place. God, we thank you for the opportunity to reach the lost in so many ways. And Lord, we pray as we give cheerfully this morning that you would honor and bless the offering that we give. And as we give with a cheerful heart, you would bless us as well. Lord, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The offering plate passes. If you'll stand back up with us, we'll go back into worship.
I was hopeless. I knew I was lost. Death and darkness.
Lord,
what your mercy did for me.
So thankful for your mercy.
And that's what your mercy did for me.
You saved me and you raised me, Lord.
And that's what your mercy did for me.
Are you thankful for his mercy this morning? Father, we just praise you and we give you the glory, for there is no one like you. There's no one in heaven or on earth like you. For you are the God of gods, you are the King of kings, you are the Lord of lords, and you are our Savior, Lord. And we want to honor and worship and praise you this morning. We just thank you, Jesus.
You shatter rocks with the whisper. You hang the stars with your hands. Your word is infinite wisdom, and your ways are higher than men's. In seasons, obey your commandments. Your thunder puts armies to flight, and no one can fathom. Praise.
praise you, Father, this morning, for there is no other name like the name of Jesus. And you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And I can't even imagine what that would be like. That you loved us that much. And this morning, we just want to tell you that we love you. That you are worthy of it all. We honor you. We glorify your name. We worship you.
Worthy is the
all worship you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy.
Would you just tell the Lord right now what he means to you? Let's just take a moment here. Let's just take a moment as the musicians play and in the presence of the Lord this morning. Let's begin to tell the Lord, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've taken us out, Lord, of dark places, Lord, that you've redeemed us out of broken lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you came, as your word says, to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, so many of us were lost. We were lost. Lord, this morning we pray. We pray, Lord, that you would touch our families, Lord. Today we pray that you would be with our neighbors today. Lord, would you touch our nation today? Lord, our new leaders, those that are elected, who are in positions of power to make decisions that influence our nation. Lord, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. You're a good God. You're a merciful God. You're a gracious God. You're a God of justice, but of mercy too. Lord, you're a God of love. You're a God of joy. You're a God of peace. Lord, you're a patient God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I want to pray this morning for Shirley Grindstaff. She was telling me just a little while ago that her back is really hurting her. I want to continue to pray for strength for Randy Brown. He went in this week and had some stuff done on his heart, some stents, and he's on the mend, and we give the glory to God for that. But we want to continue to healing in his body. I want to pray for Pastor Day as they are traveling and away. I want to pray. I went and saw Ansel Munden this week. I want to continue to pray the blessing over him, Lord, as he's in the Grace Living Center there, and pray that the joy of the Lord would inhabit his room today. How many of you have a need this morning that's just heavy on your heart? And you know that Jesus is the answer to that need. Isn't it wonderful to live a life that is with hope? We don't live a life hopeless that, well, this is the way things are in my life and there's nothing that can change it. But instead, as the sons and daughters of the Most High God, we live a life full of hope, knowing that no matter what the enemy brings against us, that God is the answer. That greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so, Lord, this morning we come to you and we thank you once again for this wonderful worship service time. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's going to be presented. But, Lord, right now we pray for these needs, those that have already been spoken, and those that were unspoken but were symbolized by the raising of hands today. Lord, you know the hearts of your people. You know the needs of your people. And so, Lord, we pray you bring salvation, you bring deliverance, you bring healing, you bring answers. Lord, that you bring everything that your people need. And, Lord, we place our faith and our trust in you, that we will not be overwhelmed by the circumstances in our lives, the circumstances in our world, that the things that are around us, we will not be overwhelmed by those things today, because we are in the security of knowing that we are in your hand. And so we praise you and we thank you. We ask that your presence would remain here amongst your people, Lord, as we're challenged by the word today, as we worship together. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate you guys. You're awesome. You're awesome. This morning, I literally, I'm having some more what I call older people moments. This morning, I turned to Kelly and I said, where is Elliot? Oh, there he is. Yeah, yeah. Forgot my own son was playing the drums. And that is a little alarming. So I'm gonna speak to you in just a few moments. But before we do that, I had Jeremy save one announcement for me so that I could do it because I do all the organization of our Connect groups. Connect groups start in 2 weeks. I remember it was just yesterday that I said Connect groups will be in 6 weeks, and now it is 2 weeks. And if you didn't notice, when you go out into the foyer today, you're going to notice our Connect group table is up. It has all the signups for all of our groups, and there is a brand new poster on the wall. And we changed it up this year because we want to help everyone out. And this year, we placed next to the groups on the poster a picture of the leaders. And I think we've done that on the actual sign-up, but now it's on the wall so you can begin to associate who leads what groups. But I wanted to, some of them are here today, some of them are not. So leaders, what I need you to do is just when I mention your group, all you can do is just stand up real quick. We're going to wave at you, and then you don't have to stand for the whole, all the groups, all right? Just so people can identify who you are. Well, the first group is being led by Pastor Steve and Miss Carol, and they're obviously, I told you, they're in Houston right now seeing their grandson being baptized, and how awesome is that? And so they're down there. Debbie Rowland's with them. And so all the grandparents are down there celebrating. I think it's Paxton, isn't it? Grandparents. Great-grandparents are shaking their head over there. I said grandparents are down there watching the water baptism. And but anyway, Pastor Steve and Miss Carol are going to be hosting one at their house. And so you can sign up for theirs. Miss Kelly and I are gonna host one at our house, and so Kelly's gonna stand up. Yes, yes, right here, there she is. So my wife and I are gonna host one at our house. Yes, yeah, she's looking at me. She's gonna, don't make me stand up. Everybody else has to stand up. So our third adult group is being led by Jeremy and Kate Caldwell. Jeremy's right here. Kate's in the back doing the sound, and it's gonna be at the Velasquez's. Now you don't get a, so Velasquez have to stand up. It's gonna be at their house. All right, so they're going to be hosting. So it's all wave of the Velasquez's, Stephanie and Isaac. Awesome, awesome. Then we have a ladies group, all right? So ladies only, it doesn't matter. Just ladies, all right? It can be single, it could be married, could be widowed, could be you just you want to leave your husband at home. That's fine, too. You just can't come to the group. All right, ladies group, and it's being hosted at Glenda Humphrey's house. And so Glenda is waving. Miss Glenda is going to do our ladies group. Awesome, awesome. The Gherkins are out ministering today, but the Gherkins are going to lead a group right here at the church. And so for their crew, and so you'll probably see on the poster, it says senior adults, just because he told me that I had too much energy, so I wasn't allowed to at his group. And so anyway, they'll be hosting a group here, and so their sign-up is out there. So we have five adult groups, and then we have stuff for all the kids. So first of all, I don't know, I think Tanya may be in the nursery. Is she even here? Tanya's not here today. Oh, Tanya injured her knee. But Tanya Coyle, who usually sits right back over on this side, is going to be doing our nursery. And so you have 0 to about 3-year-olds. That would be, and you. So if you think you're going to do a Connect group, let's say you're going to come to mine or to pastors or whoever, you would sign yourself up on that one, and then you would sign your kid that's going to go to the nursery your young person who I'm about to announce for the elementary or for youth, you'd sign up on those groups so we knew who's coming to those. Kids age, elementary age, all the way up to fifth grade is Melissa Clark and Donna. Why are you looking at me? Not fifth grade? Okay, Donna Flowers, thank you. And Benjamin, yes. And I actually found a picture with all three of them in it. So all three of them are on the poster. And so that would be up to fifth grade. And then if they're a junior high or high school student, 6th through 12th grade, this year we're doing something different, and we have a college leadership team that's going to lead that. And so we got Elliot over here and Kira. Darren, are you here? Where are you at, Darren? Darren's right here. So our college leadership team is going to lead our youth. And so we've got something for everybody, all right? And we'll continue to have more details. Watch the table. But right now, what you can do for me is if you're going to interest in going to Connect Group, just so we start to have an idea, so our leaders have an idea, and their addresses are out there I did not memorize those, out on the sign-up sheets. Would you begin to sign up so we can begin to see how our groups are forming? And that gives us a couple of weeks, and so we're excited about that. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. All right, well, I'm going to get to speaking today, and Pastor told me a few weeks ago he was going to be heading out of town and said, "You're up," and I said, "All right." I never take this lightly. Always enjoy getting to speak to our church family, and that's what you guys are, is family. When October 1st gets here, Kelly and I have been here 8 years, and it seems like it just went by like this and crazy. And it hit me the other day. That is by far the longest we've been at any church pastoring. And give us another year or two, and it'll be twice as long as any other place that we've ever been. And so we love Noble, and we love you, and I love sharing the word. And so this morning, I want to share with you a message that I have entitled, Fear Not. Everybody say, Fear Not. Fear Not. Fear Not. Well, I don't know, most of you know that I have three boys, Kendall, Elliot, and Braylon. All three of my boys have run cross country and track. They all ran them in high school, and most of the time they ran the long distance events, a mile or 2 mile, sometimes the 800, but most of the time the long distance events in track. And will you go get me a water, Elliot? Thank you. If you've ever been, how many have ever been to a track meet before? Ever been to a track meet? Let me tell you something. Track meets are not like cross-country meets. Track meets are all-day events. If you've never been to a track meet, let me just share with you kind of how it works. And so most of the time, your son or your daughter is going to be in multiple events. And because they want them to be able to rest in between the events, what's going to happen is your son or daughter is going to run an event, and then it may be an hour or two or even longer before they run again. What I'm trying to let you understand is there is long spaces in between the events. Are you opening it up too? I'm starting to, does your kids ever do anything for you and you start thinking to yourself, do they think I'm old? He has started opening everything he gives me now. Which at first was really like, oh, that's nice. Now I'm starting to get a little offended. So, but anyway, in between the runs, in between the different events that my kids would run that I was actually interested in, they would have lots of other events. And you're trying to pass the time. It might be the high jump or the shot put or the 100-meter dash or the 400-meter or the relays and all those things. But there was one type of event at a track meet that happens there that I can just hardly stand to watch. There's one event that I don't like watching it. I just try to ignore it because I'll tell you in just a second. And this event is anything that has to do with the hurdles. The hurdles. It takes great athleticism to run the hurdles because you got to be able to coordinate running as fast as you can while jumping at the most precise time, landing and then continuing to run, and you're trying to do it obviously faster than everybody else. But let me tell you something. When athletes miss, when they jump too early or they jump too late or they don't pick the foot up all the way or they don't get that front leg over the front, whatever it may be, the consequences can be devastating. They can be devastating. I've seen athletes crash and take spills that I'm not sure that I myself would have ever gotten up from. I'm sure in jest I have turned to my wife at times at track meets and said after a huge crash, yep, I think he's dead. You know what I mean? Because the crashes, I mean, the skin's gone. It's terrible. I can't stand to watch the hurdles because it hurts me to watch people fall. Hurdles are challenging and they are scary. It's a precise precision that it takes to do it. And in all of our lives, there's always going to be hurdles to jump over. There's lots of hurdles that we have to navigate, whether it be sickness or whether it be difficulty in our jobs or whether it be difficulties in our family or our marriages or other things that we have to work through and work around. But let me tell you something. The one hurdle that I think that we most struggle with, the one that I see so much in our world today that people are struggling to navigate, and that is the hurdle of fear. Fear always stands between you and I and our destiny. Fear stands between what you and I could be doing and what we are doing right this second. Fear's goal is to try to keep you from fulfilling your God-given purpose. I ask you this morning, what dream do you have in your heart? What dream stays in your heart today that maybe you've been holding on to that dream for a long time? What vision has stayed unfulfilled in your life? All of us, if we were truthful and we sat down over a cup of coffee, all of us, if we felt the freedom to do so, we could share an unfulfilled dream. We could share a vision that we believe God has for us that has stayed unfulfilled. Let me ask you something. Has fear delayed, derailed, or maybe even flat out robbed you of your destiny? I think that the answer for a lot of people today would be yes, that it has derailed, that it has delayed, that it has, in some cases, flat out robbed people from the destiny God has for them. And yet, the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 1:7, you had to know I was going to use this verse right off the bat, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and have a sound mind." This is what we understand from the Word of God is that fear is not from God. There's never been a moment in your life where you became fearful about a situation, fearful, overcome with fear, where it was like, yep, that was God. My challenge to you this morning is simple. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid when God speaks to you. Do not be afraid when God challenges you. Do not be afraid when God gives you a dream, when God gives you a vision. Do not be afraid when God begins to place a burden on your heart and wants you to get that fulfilled. Do not be afraid that He will give you the tools to make it happen. He will open the doors to make a way. He will do, if He calls you just to do something, He will help you to get there. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Here's what He said. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your great reward." We just leave that up there. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your great reward." Abram, after having battled against kings, after having survived adversity, Abram became troubled and fearful. And so God, in this moment, begins to reassure him in a vision that He is Abram's shield. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you're like, "I just need somebody to come to my defense"? How many of you ever felt like you were standing up by yourself against the masses? You felt like everybody else was in disagreement, but you knew that what you were standing up for was right. You knew that what you were saying was what the Lord had given you, and yet it feels so alone. I believe this is what Abram had gone against the kings. He had been in battle, and he became, even though God had brought him through, he was fearful and troubled, and God reminded him, "Abram, do not be afraid." And he goes further than that. He says, "I am your shield." He had a dream in his heart Later on in the passage, it says, look at the stars, so shall your offspring be. The scripture says that Abram, he left his homeland. He left a place of comfort. Listen, he had to step out. He had to step out. Sometimes God's going to ask us to do things that makes us step out of the homeland. It makes us step out of the comfort zone. It makes us step out of the places in which we love to be. But to fulfill the vision of God, we've got to put aside fear. Fear of the unknown of what's ahead. Because what we understand is although we may not know all that we encounter, we know who and which we will encounter it with. Because God shall be our shield. God said, do not be afraid. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, here's what the Bible says. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Would you flip back to the first part and leave it there for just a second? Thank you. Here's the Israelites. They had been in slavery. They had not only just been proverbially, they had not just physically whipped, but in all senses been whipped. They lived a life of fear, a life of if I don't do the right thing, I will face consequences. I'm going to toe the line. I'm going to do exactly what they... And finally, they had been delivered. Moses had led them out. And here they are. They're standing in front of the Red Sea. They're standing right in front of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is right here on this side. And they begin to turn and look. And what is coming behind them? But Pharaoh's mighty army is in pursuit. And it's getting closer and closer by the moment. And now let's read the passage again. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, because obviously they're frightful. I can imagine they're going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Here comes the army. Here's the people who had kept them in submission, in slavery for years and years and decades had come and say, here comes the masters. Here comes the rulers. And all, we can't get away because there's a Red Sea. And he said, do not be afraid. Here's what he said. Stand firm. This is what I would say to you today. In those moments when the Red Sea is in front of you and the enemy is pursuing you from behind, listen to the word of the Lord when he says, stand firm in me. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you. He said, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. Listen to me, this is a problem. This is why so many, even in the church today, who claim to be serving the Lord are struggling with fear because they believe that the only way to defeat the enemy is in their power. But the truth is that the Israelites were looking at the Red Sea and they were looking at Pharaoh's mighty army, and they had to understand that there was nothing they could do, but that God would deliver them, that he would bring the deliverance, that he would bring the deliverance. And then my favorite line, I don't know, I read this and I've seen it before, but it hit me different this week as I was working on this message. And I hope this brings it home to you today too. I love this. The last line. Nope, go back. The last line of that. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Because if you read this passage of Scripture, we go on and Moses raises his staff and the Red Sea splits. And the Israelites go across on dry land. I love that it's dry land. There's not even a moisture in the dirt. On dry land. And then the Bible says that when they got to the other side, that here came Pharaoh's. How many of you know that the enemy doesn't quit? How many of you know the enemy doesn't quit? That even though we walk in the power of the Lord, the enemy will pursue until the very last moment. How many of you know that the devil knows that in the end, the scripture says clearly that in the end, he doesn't win. He already knows that he doesn't win, but he's still going to pursue to the very end. And that's what happened. Pharaoh's mighty army said, oh yeah, well here we go. And the Bible says that they were going across the Red Sea. And when they all got in there, the Red Sea closed up on them. And so I need you to understand that even though they didn't understand what Moses was saying because they hadn't experienced it yet, they knew what he meant afterwards because he said, the Egyptians you see today, you're never going to see them again. Just for a moment as they float down that way. What I'm trying to tell you today is this, is that fear not, for the Lord will bring deliverance. And those things, that army that maybe is chasing you right now, that one that you believe is standing in between you and your dream and your destiny today, today it's a problem. But soon, if we will hand it over to the Lord, it won't be but just a memory. Because we'll never see it again. The Lord will fight for you. Will you flip to the last part? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to what? Be still. The word of the Lord says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Story of Joshua. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. You catching the theme? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Just leave that there for a minute. So Moses has died. Moses has died. We're past the Red Sea. We've wandered. They've wandered around the desert out there. They're trying to get to the promised land. Ain't quite made it yet, but they can see it. Moses has died, and God has renewed the promises he made to Moses. And he's given them to Joshua. If Moses can't take them in, you will take them in. How many of you know that sometimes destinies fall by the wayside, but God's plans remain true? What if God's destiny for you is to pick up something that somebody else dropped? What if you are the second chance? What if you are the renewed vision? What if you are the Joshua to someone's Moses? What if you are the, what if you just moved into a house? You just started a job. You just got in a new opportunity. And you're next door. You teach next door. You live next door. You work next door in the next cubicle over from someone who needs to know about Jesus. And maybe the last person who sat there, they love the Lord with all their heart, but fear gripped their heart because, Lord knows, we can't tell Randy. Well, Randy Brown, he's a mean old guy. I can't tell him. I work next to him, and there's no way I can't tell him. Donna, just got a new job. Maybe the destiny of that job is because you're going to reach somebody that somebody else hadn't reached yet. Amen. Joshua was young for those times. We probably, he died at 110. He's 51 years in the promise, so we believe he's about 59. And here's what the command was. Be strong and courageous. It's not just enough not to be fearful. The word of the Lord tells us that we should be strong and courageous. That we don't just, hey, I'm not afraid, but I'm gonna walk slow, though. I'm not scared, but we're going to take this easy. The Bible says, be strong and courageous. We're going. Here we go. I'm not afraid. Let's go. If God has sent us, we must go. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and afraid. And do not be discouraged. For the Lord will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Wherever you go. You ever been with somebody? You ever been going somewhere with somebody? You turned around, they were gone. You're like, wait a sec, what happened? What happened? That's not the Lord. That's not the Lord. Nothing can stand against our God, including a little change of plans. I'd like to take just a little bit of time here. I want to look at one more character today, one more person in the scripture today and how fear and faith worked in his life. And it's the life of Noah. This morning I'd like to look at just three areas where we cannot be afraid. Three areas where we cannot be afraid. The first one is this. Do not be afraid to stand up for God. Do not be afraid to stand up for God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 9 says this. Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 9. Says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret, wow, that I have made them. But Noah, everybody say, but Noah. Everybody should send, when we get to heaven, make sure you give Noah a thank you note. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Scripture says that Noah was the only blameless person. I think of the story, and it's not even in my notes, but I think of the story of the 99 sheep and the one. I think this is a perfect example of God looking at mankind and going, but Noah. I can't wipe out all of the human race because Noah had found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord had called him blameless. Had called him blameless. My challenge to you this morning is, are you willing to overcome fear to stand up for God? How many of you would say that's harder to do than it's ever been before? Come on. I think it's harder to do, if we're honest, in this culture and in this environment, in this day. It's harder to stand up for the Lord and for righteousness than it's ever been before. I don't know that there's ever been more unrighteousness than the day we live in today. I don't know if we've ever lived in a time where sin was not called sin more often than it is right now, where we excuse sin. Are you with me this morning? What is God speaking to you about? I think we need to stand up. We need to stand up for our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says, be on guard. Stand firm. There's that concept again. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. I love it. Be on guard. What does on guard mean? It doesn't mean be defensive. How many of you know we got enough of that today? Right? And, I mean, people could post about ice cream on Facebook, and next thing you know, it's like, World War III. Like, how do we get from ice cream to, you know, World War, but somehow it happens. It only takes, like, 22 comments, something like that. I didn't say be defensive. I said I'm being on guard. On guard means being ready. It means being ready. It means knowing so that we learn that we learn to preach and teach and share the Word of God and not our opinion. How many of you guys know that people are guilty today? It's really easy to begin to state our opinion as the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Scripture says don't add or take away from the, so we probably shouldn't be adding to what the Lord says. If the Lord has covered everything that needs to be covered really well in Scripture, He doesn't need us to add addendums to it. But we need to be able to teach and to share and to preach the word of the Lord. To hold up, listen to this. Maybe you haven't heard this phrase in a while, but how many of you remember when we used to challenge people to hold up the banner of righteousness? But you can't hold up a banner of righteousness unless we're going to live a life of righteousness. Amen. Amen. We stand up for faith. We stand up for unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I put this in here because I need you to understand my heart today. And you won't judge that I have ulterior motives because Pastor's not here. So you'll get it in a minute. Here's what I'm going to challenge you today with is this. Is that we need to support our pastor's vision. We need to support our pastor's vision. I wrote this in my notes today. More than one vision is division. More than one vision is division. I asked Pastor on a regular basis, Pastor, is there anything I'm doing that's in division of your vision? Is there anything that I'm doing that you are not comfortable with me doing? Is there anything that happens within our church here is filtered through the vision of Pastor Steve? And although I may take the leadership of it, maybe connect groups or anything else, nothing I ever do is done without it passing across Pastor's desk. It has to be the vision of the one shepherd. There's one senior pastor here. That includes me. That includes all of you. Who's one senior pastor. And so we as people, we've got to quit being so fearful. Well, what does he want us to do? But instead get behind our pastor and begin to sow seeds of unity. Not only stand up for faith, stand up for unity, but don't be afraid to stand up in trouble. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God. When I was a little kid, I thought that was so cool. I was waiting, when am I getting my suit, right? And then I was like, oh, this is figurative. Okay, so put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and how many of you know, it's here. You may be able to stand your ground. Here we go again. Tony, this is what we're talking about. Stand firm. I'm so tired of, yeah, we serve an almighty God. We serve a God who created the heavens and the earth. We serve a God who redeemed mankind. But the first time that trouble comes, we take off. The Bible says, stand your ground, stand firm. And after you've done everything, after you've done all that, you should still be standing. It's weird. It's weird because the Bible has this weird thing that happens. Are you ready for it? It's consistent. Isn't that strange? In a world of inconsistency, if there's no other reason to, there's a lot of reasons to read the Bible. If there's just one I give you today, it's just for some consistency in your life. At the Red Sea, Moses spoke the word of the Lord to the Israelites and said, stand still. Just stand here and know that I am God. In Ephesians, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and says, stand your ground. Stand still. There will be trouble, but don't be fearful because God is with us. So number one, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I can get a drink. To stand up for God. Number two, do not be afraid to make a difference. Do not be afraid to make a difference. I need you to understand something today. This is not going to be really motivational. This is probably not the speech to give to a group of pastors. This will probably make everybody quit. But you ready for this? Noah spent 120 years preaching. That's a long time. You ready? And only 8 people got saved. Let me give you that number again. Noah spent 120 years preaching and only 8 people got saved. Not just spiritually, actually physically. 8 people. 120 years preaching, and only 8 people got saved. I got to believe that Noah probably felt like he was making a mess. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're trying to serve the Lord? You feel like you're trying to do your very best for the Lord? And you're like, I think all I'm doing is making a mess, God. That had to be Noah. But he stayed faithful to building the boat, day after day, week after week, year after year. And when people challenged his vision, he kept building. Anybody ever challenged your vision? When friends refused to help him or stick with him, You ever had that happen? Come on. When that happened, he kept building. He cast down the fear that comes from rejection and from conflict and just from the hurdles of life. He cast those things aside. You see, most people hear the story of the ark. They envision Noah building it with a saw and with boards and nails and however else I'm sure they didn't have DeWalt screw guns, right, back then. But we envision, right? You see the story and you envision Noah building the ark with the boards and the nails and whatever, however he did with the tools of that time. But truthfully, stay with me here. I won't want you to miss this. Noah built the ark with faith. Noah built the ark with hope. Noah built the ark with a vision. And Noah built the ark with the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody can take some boards and some nails and some screws and build something. Not as well as Jeremy and Lance, but they can. Okay, I can't build anything. Almost anybody can take screws and nails and board and build something. But to do something that will change the destiny of humankind, to change the destiny of your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your family, it's going to take a little bit of hope and faith and vision and a whole lot of the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to make a difference. You, everyone in this room, can make a difference. Some of us in the room may make a difference. 50 people, 100 people. Maybe you'll make a difference to 1,000 people. But even if you make a difference just to one, oh, what a glorious day in heaven that will be. Thirdly, do not be afraid to step out in faith. Everybody say, step out. Yeah. I love it. Noah builds a boat, and it hadn't rained in forever. And when I say forever, I mean forever. I'm talking, I walked out the other day, and I was like, the ground is cracking. Like, that's alarming. How many of you notice, like, the dirt, the cracks? Like, the ground is so dry. There's just cracks in the, you know. And I worry about, like, for Pastor Chad, he's a lot smaller, so he might fall in, you know. And that's not in my notes, but I always have to get one Pastor Chad joke in. So, but, you can imagine how dry it had to be. All right? Like, right now, if your best friend goes, you know what I'm telling you right now? Here's what we know. We should all go get a boat. Right? The other day, my neighbor was out front. He was in his boat. It was on the trailer, you know, and I just couldn't help myself. I was walking around the block, and he's over there, and he's really, like, into it. How many of you guys, like, you see people, and they're, like, cleaning their cars? He is focused. And so, I don't even know him that well, but I just, I know him by waving to him. I said, hey! He looked up. I said, it'll work better if you put it on water. He smiled. He goes, good point. Good point. Yeah. He's out in the middle of his front yard. I was just like, I don't understand. Anyway, Noah builds a boat and it hadn't rained in forever. Do not allow do not allow the fear of the past or even the present to hold you back for the future. Don't look at the circumstances around you and go, well, if Noah had done that, we'd never have an ark. Don't look at the circumstances of your life. Well, God, right now, my life's a mess. God, I this is happening and that's happening. God, you want me to help the family next door? Have you seen what's happening in my family? God, you want me to encourage this younger family, a younger couple in their marriage? Have you seen my marriage? God, you want me to help this person in their work? You want me to give some money to help this family financially? God, have you seen? We're budgeting like crazy. God, milk is, how much is milk now? $62. I don't even know how much it is, but how many of you notice that no matter how high the milk is, it's still going? The other day I went to Walmart, there was no milk. No milk whatsoever. What is happening? I think it's the concept of buy it now because it's only going to get more expensive. I think that's what they're going with. But have you ever looked at your present situation, whatever it is, and thought, my present situation doesn't qualify me or doesn't at least encourage me to move forward in what you're asking me to do? But Noah said, I don't care if it rained in forever. God, you said build a boat. I'm going to build a boat. Failure is only final if we stop trying. Failure is only final if we stop trying. The word of the Lord tells us to press on. Right? Now Paul said, press on towards the prize. Press on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says this. By faith. Everybody say, by faith. Not by vision. Not by vision. I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes Noah built, that probably wasn't safe to build this way. He might have closed his eyes so he didn't look at the circumstances around him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Now, I said earlier that it's not good to have fear. Scripture says that Noah had a holy fear. Here's what I think that was. I think in Noah's heart it rose up the fear of what happens if I don't fulfill what God has asked me to do something. And I know I've been warned about the things I don't see, but with a holy fear, a fear of knowing that there's an anticipation. God has something for me. And I gotta allow that. Push him forward. Push him forward. He built an ark, and Noah built an ark, and he took action. Faith and obedience, listen to me, faith and obedience are inseparable. Faith and obedience, just as unbelief and disobedience are too. Faith and obedience are inseparable, just as unbelief and disobedience are too. He became an heir to righteousness. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as I conclude today. I challenge you with these last thoughts on the concept of fear. One of the most crippling hurdles the devil uses in the church today is fear. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that the reason why churches today don't get more done is at the root of it is fear. Fear of failure. Fear of, did I hear God right? Fear of, I'm not qualified. Fear of, well, what if it doesn't work? Fear of, fill in the blank. Fear of, can I trust those that I have to work with? Fear of, will anybody follow behind and buy into the vision? Here's what the enemy says. You're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. See if these resonate in your heart today. You're not strong enough. You're not brave enough to do that. You're not smart enough. You're not young enough. You're not old enough. Well, I have an answer to all of that. That's what I said earlier when I told you that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, here's what the devil doesn't want you to understand is that your destiny was never, ever, ever contingent on your abilities. Your destiny was never contingent on what you could do. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, if Jesus hadn't died on the cross, we would be dead in sin. It was never about our worthiness. We were never worthy. The gift is by grace. By grace. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, because he gave it to us freely. So our destiny was never built. It was never contingent on our abilities. And what we could do is what he could do through us. We're just vessels. God may call us to play different roles at different times in his plan. You may be a part-time and part-time be an encourager at one moment. You may be a part-time interceder in another moment. You may be a part-time laborer in another part of your walk. And then you may be a part-time listener in another part of your walk. But let me tell you something. We're called to be full-time sons and daughters of the Most High God. Fear has no authority over the family of God. The word of the Lord says that the devil may come to kill, He may come to steal. He may come to destroy. But that our Father came to give life and give it to you more abundantly. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, thank you for your word that says that you do not give us a spirit of fear. But Lord, you place upon us the mantle of a destiny, a God-given purpose. That we're not here just to take up air. We're not here just to take up a pew or a seat. We're not here just to be here. We're here to be a vital, functioning, healthy part of the body of Christ. Every young man and young woman, every kid in this place, every adult in this place, every grandparent in this place. God, would you just begin to pour out your spirit upon each of them today? Would you remove, like you're doing surgery, would you just remove those things that create fear in their life? The fear that comes from broken marriages, fear that comes from lost children, fear that comes from financial instability, fear that comes from a past that shouldn't define us but so far has. Lord, would you just begin to bring courage, and would you begin to help us to stand firm? This morning, I want to ask you to do something that's kind of interesting, kind of fun, kind of challenging. Just as a body of believers, a family, if you would say to the Lord today, not to me, I'm just sharing with you a message I feel like the Lord gave me, but if you would say to the Lord today, Lord, no matter, even though the Red Sea is in front of me, and even though the enemy, the army of the enemy is behind me, pursuing me, and even though fear may sometimes rise in, I will not allow fear to take over, and I want to stand firm. I want to stand and know that you are God. I understand that you are my shield. I understand that you are my protector, that you are my provider, that it is not what I can do, but what you can do through me. If you take that challenge today and say, I want to stand firm in the destiny that God has for my life. This is for each of you today. Would you just stand? Would you stand today in this room and say, as a symbol of the Lord, I will stand firm. I will stand firm. Amen. I will stand firm in what God has called me to do. I will not let the enemy, amen. I will not let the enemy speak against the destiny that God has for me. You know what I see? I see winners. I see sons and the daughters of the Most High God. I see overcomers. The Bible says that we are more than overcomers. And I'm tired of the enemy putting fear in our life and keeping us back when we can be doing so much more in the plan of God. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too weak. God has a destiny for you. God, you see those who are standing in this place today. Lord, we stand as a symbol that we will stand firm in what you have called us to do. And we will stand up for the faith. We will stand up to make a difference. We will stand up to defend you, Lord. We will stand up to preach the gospel. We will stand up in righteousness. And though the Red Sea be in front of us and the army be behind us, we know that you are our deliverer, that you came when we needed you. You sent your son when it was the only way. And if you'd give your son, what else would you give? Anything is possible. And so we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team, would you come? Let's just worship together before we close service today. Let's just tell the Lord, I will stand firm in you.
Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every I know there is peace within. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
I speak Jesus.
For my family, I speak the holy name.
shout Jesus from the mountaintop. Come on. Come on. How many of you know the name of Jesus? There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So this week, if fear begins to creep in, doubt begins to creep in, I want you to speak the name of Jesus like a shield against those thoughts today. All right? It says that the name of Jesus, he shall flee. He shall flee. Lord, I pray for every person in this place. I thank you for my family, my church family, Lord, who I believe today, our hearts have been encouraged to know that the destiny that you have for us, our God-given purpose, doesn't rest upon our abilities, but Lord, it rests upon a God who works through us. Lord, we will not allow fear or doubt to stand in the way of what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go from this place, be a light, and make a difference. I love you.